Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to the Capes and Commentaries podcast, your go-to podcast for all your Saturday morning cartoons, your retro stuff. We talk about it all. Well, most of it anyway. I am Nathan Kennedy, here with Tyler Baker. Tyler, how you doing, man? We were supposed to start this thing a while ago, but we get to talking because you and I, this is like our only real face-to-face unless we actually do meet up and go out and get some pizza or something.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like our catch-up time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because Nathan's busy with work. I'm busy with work. We're both torn to pieces when the weekend gets here. So we like to catch up and vent about stuff and share about, you know, what we may have picked up or just sharing funny stories and stuff like that too. But to kind of keep it all tied in together, you know, we're doing the real Ghostbusters today. And I mean, it's with the Diamond Select figures coming out. I showed them to Nathan and Nathan was all about it. And so we both of us have obtained all four of the real Ghostbusters. He's also got Slimer and Stay Puft, who I've yet to pick up, but I'm going to. And if you have not seen any of these figures, I'll just kind of show. Here's Ray Minton Box right now. He will be coming out of the box. If you guys have seen them and you don't know what you think about them or whatever, believe me, these things are well worth whatever you pay for them.
Let's see the back of the card as well.
Oh, it's the. Yeah, there's Peter and Stay Puft. And Stay Puft is just slightly taller. It's kind of it's a throwback to the real Ghostbusters Kenner line.
Yeah, which I am totally fine with.
Yeah, which I love, like the classic, like the lettering and the packaging of like the real Ghostbusters cartoon. Like it was like getting the Kenner figure meant on card, dude, with the purple and blue, you know.
It's good stuff. I thought
it was just a little bit of artwork, but the throwback to them, the package art that was on the Kenner figures.
Yeah, but at the same time, like if it looks too good, then you want to keep it. So if you're opening it up, it's best if it just looks not great or as good, then you just throw that shit in the trash.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm not keeping the package anyway, but I have that affinity for those Kenner figures with that kick-ass card art of all four Ghostbusters zapping the ghost on the packaging. But yeah, we are doing the real Ghostbusters today, and I'm ashamed that I have not confess my love and appreciation for this cartoon, because this was a big part of my childhood as well. And a show we're going to have to just revisit more often.
Yes.
At least with Lorenzo Music doing the voice of Peter. It's going to be really hard.
Well, you don't like the Dave Coulier years?
Oh, my God.
Come on, man. Cut it out. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, it was definitely jarring even as a kid.
Yeah, it was. I didn't like it as a kid. I'm like,
I kind of didn't either, but I just sort of accepted it.
You know? I went along with it because I'm like, everything else was watchable and thoroughly enjoyable. But it was just, you know, because Peter was my favorite next to Winston, and I'm like, his voice is different, drastically different. Like, who the hell's doing this? And I hate it when they would do that in children's cartoons, as if like kids won't know the difference or they won't enjoy it as much,
or they don't find creative ways to implement the change. Like, I really liked how the 2012 Turtle series went from when they went from Jason Biggs to Seth Green for Leonardo. They actually used a storyline that was like, oh, he got hurt and like it damaged him and it like changed his voice a little bit.
Yeah.
They acknowledged it, and I appreciate that. So
for
them to just do this, they won't care. Kids notice. We notice.
Yeah. All right,
even as kids, we noticed.
Like, if James Avery wasn't voicing Shredder in a certain episode of Turtles, I'm like, what the hell happened to Shredder's voice? Like, no, I notice all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Turtles and Ghostbusters, I want to say, were my main go-tos. Now, with that said, I don't have the steel trap memory like Tyler does, so I remember bits and pieces of all the episodes I watched, but I could not tell you vivid memory. I mean, I can tell you vivid memories of sitting there on Saturday mornings, ABC, checking it out and catching reruns, taping them as well. I had a few. Tyler, you remember this because you're like, oh, I got to get those. Remember, I had some of the Ghostbusters episodes on like a VHS. You're like, I need those. I was like two or three episodes, but you had that.
Back when the stuff was, you know, if you didn't catch it on reruns on Fox Family, which was like in the late 90s. When they launched that channel, they were playing Pee-wee's Playhouse at the same time too. Like, that was Like, this is it. Like, that's your only way, unless you could still find VHS tapes to rent at the time, which was getting harder and harder. So, yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
I remember, I mean, because it's, you know, I got all four of them Christmas 87 with the He-Man figures. And there's even, like, a home video of my mom taping me. And I was playing with Cobra Khan in the middle of watching the Ghostbusters episode, Ghost Fight at the OK Corral. And my mom's asking me to explain what I was watching. So there's footage of me trying to explain this episode, which I, as a kid, I didn't know what it was called, like the name of it, but I knew what was going on. And it's called Ghost Fight at the OK Corral, where they're fighting these ghost cowboys.
Yeah. I think that was one of the episodes that was actually on the VHS tape.
Yeah.
That you, and I think that's why you wanted it so bad, because you're like, oh, yeah. That's...
Yeah.
We need to find a way to get that converted over to something and ripped on here so we can upload it to the channel. So everyone can see Tyler as a little kid trying to explain.
Yeah, I'm wearing like a red McKid sweatshirt and cowboy boots. And
oh, my God.
I got Cobra Khan in my hand, and I'm just kind of acting like, oh, I don't care. I just want to watch cartoons and play with my toys. And then I was like, can I see myself on camera? But that's what I was doing that day. And, I mean, the... It really was a magical show, though, in terms of, like, because, you know, it's, I can't remember the first time I saw Ghostbusters and the film itself, because it was all just kind of mixed together with,
yeah, same here,
He-Man and Thundercats. And that introduction, you know, of seeing them at the firehouse and then seeing that big, nice collection of colorful ghosts with Stay Puft hovering over them was just, look at all these like crazy colorful ghosts, and they're all just kind of hopping, you know, moving in place like this. But like that one, look at that one, look at that one, look at that one. And when they pull out their proton packs, it's calm and cool, and just zap. I mean, you know, zap the hell out of all of them. It was just energizing with the ghosts going down the street and seeing them slide down the pole in the firehouse. Which to this day, because of Ghostbusters and then Batman 66, I have always wanted a fire pole in my house.
Same here, but yeah. I was always afraid. Because you know how they have like the fire pole kind of thing on kids' playgrounds?
Mm-hmm.
It was always too high for me. And I was like, I can't do it. I was always afraid.
The one Bissett Park, I was like, oh, they got a fire pole. And of course, it's not as epic looking as Ghostbusters.
As a kid, it was like the greatest thing. But I was terrified. Yeah. I'm like, that is too far off the ground. What if I fall and hurt myself?
And it was a thin bar. And if it was hot in the summertime, you'd
burn your hands. Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
it's like the slides too, man. Those metal slides where it was hot. Not only that, but you would like kind of stick to it, and it would like scrape your legs up.
Yeah, because if you didn't get enough, you know, a slick glide on the slide, your skin was like rubbed really hard. It was like getting floor burn playing basketball, where you just would, you know, scrape your knee against the gym floor, and that's what it was like going on those hot slides. That's what it was like playing on a playground back in our day. You risk burning yourself trying to have a good time, you know. But yeah, going down the fire pole to this day, like I would still. I know people. Some people have installed them in their homes, and like I just would love one day to go down a you know, doesn't have to be like a full scale like firehouse fire pole, because I have seen some of them in person. Like, oh my God, you know. But to just grab a hold of it, and I want someone to say, "We got a call." I gotta go run and jump. I want the guardrail around and everything, and I want the cleaning up the town plan when I go run to the fire pole, just like in the movie. Oh God, it's so exciting!
One thing that I did have that I remember you and I talked about even back in high school that you're always jealous of. We have our fond memories of the Hills department store, and at one point they were selling like the jumpsuit. In the kids department. So I had like the jumpsuit. I don't know. I want to say it just said Ghostbuster right here, and then had like all of them on the back of it. Cause I want to say it was like the logo, and it had some more stuff on it. I can't remember exactly what all was on it, but I used to wear that. And of course with the toy line came like the proton pack and everything. So I would wear that, and I would run around busting ghosts, had the trap and everything too. I still have all of this stuff, like the jumpsuit and everything. It's at my parents' house. I need all this stuff eventually. I'm bigger house. I'll dig it all.
You have to get like a little kid mannequin and put the Ghostbuster.
Well, actually, I did do that at one point. My parents did have like this doll that was about toddler size, creepy fucking face, though. But I'm like, I'm going to put the jumps in. I put the proton pack on it and everything. But it was still weird. But what made it creepier, too, was the way that I had it. Because I'm like, the face is just too... I turned it around so you just see its back and just had it against the walls. I was like, Blair Witch, toddler, Ghostbuster thing.
I don't give it anything because I remember seeing the proton pack and the trap available to purchase, but not in store. Like, I just knew it you could get it. So the only thing I ever had was the Ghost Zapper that I got the same Christmas as the figures, which would project images of ghosts on the wall, and you could pull the trigger and start zapping them. Yeah. And there was one of the Terror Dog, Zool, or Gozer, excuse me, and a couple of other random ghosts like Stay Puffed. And it was just so exciting to, like, project them on the wall and, oh man, gotta get him! You know, so it was, and I did repurchase that toy from Justin's shop at Happy's a few years ago.
Great, how much you pay for that? About $125.
No, well, it was I got it with the box, with Panther with his nunchucks, and I think one or two items, and he cut me a deal. He knocked off $5.
You know, oh wow! What a deal!
Yeah, and I had to ask him for that. So
what an asshole. I know we bring him up a lot on Capes and Commentary. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's such a prick. He's got an incredible stock of 80s. And
yeah, 90s it's nice. There's no doubting he has probably the best collection that I've seen in a store in quite some time. But his when's he open? His shit's expensive. He's a douchebag, but he did meet Matt Hardy.
Yeah, and you should get his autograph because he met Matt Hardy, which he tried to kind of push off on Nathan one time years ago.
Yeah, look at me, man. I was an indie wrestler. Check this out. Here's a still from my match. Here's me with Matt Hardy. I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't give a shit. I really don't care.
but yeah, and I did have the opportunity to play with the proton pack at Josh Rapp's house because he still had the stuff lingering around in first grade. So I got to, for the first time, put on the proton pack, which was very, very small.
It is.
So even as a first grader, you're like, God, like I could barely put this thing on, but just hold it.
But I was a smaller kid
back
then, too. So to me, it was like it fit actually kind of perfectly. But I could see, because you were obviously bigger than me as a kid. So I could see.
Probably,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, I imagine. I imagine you were.
But he still had the ghost trap, so to like roll it out and step on it. And like,
oh, it's so good.
This is magic.
Yeah.
You know, so just something I really wish I could have had the opportunity to play with in 87 and 88, or even 89 when Ghostbusters 2 came out, too. You know, because my passion for Ghostbusters didn't die until, like, you know, they stopped playing it on ABC Saturday mornings when Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters was on. Ghostbusters, I mean, there's so much stuff for me and Nathan to talk about, you know, I mean, our passion for the two films and this series alone. And, you know, I just want to ask, do you remember when Ghostbusters 2 came out, Hardy's had that tie-in with his noisemakers?
Yes.
Oh, man, I just thought those things were, like, the best thing in the world.
No, I went there and got a couple of them.
Oh, God. We got them at Myrtle Beach. We went to Hardy's in Myrtle Beach, and we got one that summer it came out.
Didn't they also? What didn't they also have like the Ecto One? Wasn't there an Ecto One that did something? I'm probably mixing some of this up because I want to say I also had like a Ghostbusters Play-Doh set.
Yes, I'm seeing that at Rose's. Yeah. God, I wanted that so.
Yeah, I had that as well, and maybe that's where I'm getting the Ecto One thing from because there was like an Ecto One mold,
and it was a smaller Ecto One. Yeah. But you can make the Ghostbusters with it, and
yeah.
And the box art for the Play-Doh box looks really cool. Like, it's very reminiscent of the Ecto-1 box art.
That's somewhere at my parents'.
Of course it is. Probably with the box and the Play-Doh.
Actually, probably the Play-Doh is probably still with it.
Oh, man.
I mean, obviously not going to be worth anything. That Play-Doh is long gone, but...
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an awesome-looking... set at least, and I've watched the commercial of it on YouTube too. I'm like, oh man, I wanted it so bad. My mom told me I couldn't have it. I'm like, it's the worst day ever.
And it was probably like $5 too. Probably wasn't nothing. I still see that anytime I go to Walmart or Target. It's still, and I'm glad at the same time it is annoying as an adult to see it happen, but to see the kids just be like, please, can we get this? And the parents are like, no. And the kids are like, oh, okay. But I like the ones that don't throw a fit. There's been plenty of times when that happens, and I've been tempted just to take it, go and check out, and then just come back and just find the kid and just give it to him.
Yeah.
And just look at the parent and just be like, fuck you. Because it's one thing. I understand spoiling a kid, because certainly my parents more or less did that to me. That's what happens when you're an only child. It's not like I went into the stores all the time and just begged for stuff. It's like we would go to Hills or Walmart or Roses or Hex. Do you remember Hex?
I do.
We go in there and
or Hess.
Yeah. And they would be like, all right, you can pick out a toy. It was never a thing. I went in there like expecting it, but they'd be like, all right, you can pick out a toy. Or if we went multiple places, it's like, well, you already got your toy for the week. Maybe next week when we come back, whatever. Your birthday's coming up. Christmas is coming up.
That's the worst. When they take you out to look at that stuff. Oh, your birthday. It's just like, you know, it's a big
deal. But I get spoiling kids, but
yeah,
there's also a thing of like kids are kids, and I probably will never have kids, but if you have them, you gotta reflect on what you do to them and how they are. Like if you're stingy with your money and you won't buy them a toy every now and again, or if they ask for something and you tell them no all the time, they'll remember that. You know, they'll grow up with that and turn into shitty people or something. So I don't know. Obviously, if they point to something, it's like $100.
But yeah.
I've seen it where it's like $2-3 toys. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. I'm like, it's $2 or $3. Like, you're probably going to go buy a pack of cigarettes at some point today. Yeah. Like, why? Like, do that for your kid. Like, they'll remember shit like that.
I tell my parents all the time. I mean, where they would, my mom took me and my brother all the way to Walmart, Christiansburg, to buy Street Fighter the movie trading cards.
Oh yeah.
And then we went straight home. Like all that way, from a kid's perspective, that's like a long way. It was like 15 minutes, but just to buy trading cards and then come straight home, and that's it, just to buy trading cards. Like, yes, there were times where we were told in advance you can't get anything today, and then sometimes my mom would say, "All right, you can't get a toy, but you can get a comic book. You can get a pack of trading cards." So it was just like, it was a nice trade-off sometimes. And then sometimes you were told you couldn't get anything. Because we did drive her kind of nuts when we started getting allowance, so we couldn't wait to go spend it at Kmart and buy a new G.I. Joe or something like that. I could do a whole episode on just things that my mom and dad bought for me. And like, to them, they felt like they didn't do enough. I'm like, you know, yes, I didn't get to get all the He-Man figures I want, all the Thundercats and Turtles and G.I. Joes and Ghost. I never had the Firehouse. But I had Ecto-1, all four of the Ghostbusters, a big plush Stay Puft on, tons of stuff. And that's like with my nephew. Like when I got the DC Primal Age Batcave, when I opened that thing up, it was like this magical burst that came over me. It was like being a 5-year-old and getting Castle Grayskull or something like that. And I felt like I need to do that for my nephew. So I am going to get him the Batcave probably this week and have it shipped here. And get him the Joker, so when he comes in again, I'm going to have him look around and just come across this box that's going to have the Batcave, Joker, and Batman in there. And hopefully, you know, leave like a – even though he's still young, but he remembers stuff. It's amazing what he remembers right now and how he communicates. So I want to try and leave that kind of magical toy memory on my nephew. So kind of like what Nathan's done for me in the recent year, just, you know. Nathan's been like my surrogate father. He's just, you know, man, I really wanted this. Well, son, you got it, you know. I just really, you know, want to pass it on to my nephew. And, you know, his parents do amazing things for him. So he's not getting shortchanged in terms of childhood. But I just, you know, I want to be able to do my part because my parents did some wonderful things for me. And I just want to be able to do that for my nephew as well. So
that said, be nice to your kids and buy them stuff in the department stores every now and again. But at the same time, too, if they're acting up, bust their ass. Yeah. Take them outside. Bust their ass.
Yeah, don't let them sit there and threaten them You know, yeah. And while they continue
don't do the counting shit. That doesn't work.
No, and threatening, I'm gonna leave you here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that. I remember there were some kids screaming at Target yesterday. I'm like, well, it wouldn't be a trip to Target or Walmart without some kids screaming and crying about something.
You leave, you go home, you bust their ass. That's what happened to us. We turned out all right.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not scarred from the less than a handful of spankings I got from my dad and his banana hands.
obviously, again, there is also a line between spanking your kids and, like, abusing them.
Yeah. Well, just raising your voice. Like, my parents raised their voice at me, like, okay, I'll stop. You know, didn't take much. You know, I was like a frightened puppy because I didn't like being embarrassed by my parents for acting up or being told no about something. So,
yeah.
But
I feel like we might get some heat for that. And for that, I apologize in advance. But I'm just saying, like, I guess some stuff works and some stuff just doesn't. Maybe the counting stuff does work for some people. If it does, great, cool. Well, and it's good that your kid is that obedient that they can tell that you're mad and they realize the consequences. But I feel like, at least from what I've seen around here, when people do that, the kids just don't care. They're like, whatever, Mom. They just, whatever.
This depends on, and I'm not a parent. I don't plan on having kids either, but I see how my brother has raised, you know, my nephew, and you lay the groundwork early. You know, you're cool with him. He's laid back about stuff, but he also wants to make sure Brian is safe, that he's not acting up. And if he's told no, and if he ignores it, then no, you know, you have to be affirmative with him. He's not spanking him. He's not, you know, screaming and cussing at him, "You little shit," you know, or anything like that.
Yeah, that's the worst thing, too, when they create a scene out in public and they're, like, yelling and, like, cussing at their kid. I'm like, that's not necessary.
Yeah.
And then when they grow up, they probably just end up doing the same stuff.
Yep, and then they take their cigarette and burn their arm, just like Bender in Breakfast Club. See, this is what you get in my ass when you spill paint in the garage.
That's a movie we need to discuss at some point.
It's kind of one of those movies too, where even though the movie's serious, you can't talk about it and just not laugh. But even all the dramatic stuff that's going on, you still laugh at it, you know. Because when he calls them dildos, like it's in a moment where he's upset about his home life, but him calling them a bunch of dildos, like I just laugh because then he pulls a Nathan and just starts tearing stuff apart and, you know, screams and yells and then goes and sits down by himself. Like, that's probably Nathan.
Used to be.
Yeah.
I found a way to kind of like harness it and keep it in a little bit better than I used to. But there are times. It actually happened this week at work because the guy on day shift broke the tugger, the thing that I drive on to all day, and I had to drive this janky piece of shit that I swear to God, once it starts going and get speed, I don't know if there was something like with its axle or whatever, but it would just start doing this. So I would have to drive slow. You would like this. I would have to drive slow, and then I get pissed off. I just hit the gas. It was starting to go. I would start to shake. I'd just kick my leg out, and I'd be like, "Yeah, oh, I love it." And people were just like laughing at me. I was so mad. So mad. I'm just driving around like, fuck this place. Fuck everything. I was angry. So angry.
I was just like one of those like drunk guys walking in New York City. Just like, I'm going to kill him. Just like talking to himself. Just, you know, talking about, I'm going to kill this person. I'm going to stab this person, you know, in the head. You know,
it's still there.
Yeah.
It just takes a lot more for it to come out now.
Let me run to the bathroom real quick before we start this commentary. I feel like I want to enjoy it because we're doing really good here with our random discussions and Ghostbuster talk. So I'm like, I want to maintain this.
Now you're gonna kill the momentum by going to the bathroom. Great.
Well, I know I can bring it back. I can get that heat. All that, you know, I can, you know, give me the hot tack. I'll get us going again.
All right. Apologies to everyone's ears for hearing the from the microphone, which actually wasn't that bad that time. Well, I can't sit here in silence while Tyler goes and takes a piss. So, hello to Devil78 and JSP in the chat room. Thanks for joining us live for the Capes and Commentaries podcast. Guess I'll just go ahead and say this now in the middle of the show. You guys feel free to leave a comment down below and like the video. Let us know your thoughts on the real Ghostbusters. Some of your memories. Did you have a lot of the toys? Were you hanging out and busting ghosts? I don't really know where I'm going with this. It's harder to do this one-man show thing. Get a condom cath like a real commentator. Well, to be fair, we were sitting here a good half hour before we even started the show. So we've been going for about an hour now. And Tyler's bladder is the size of a pea. Because I swear all the time, he's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. Like, even when he's here hanging out for like 5 hours, I think he goes to the bathroom at least once an hour. Might want to get that checked. JSP says he didn't have any of the toys. Piss joke. Hey, he could be like in Dumb and Dumber. He just starts pissing in the beer bottles and having them sitting laid out.
I was given a beer bottle when I went on a camping trip with Zach Connor, and that's what his mom gave us to piss. I remember because we had to sleep in the car. It was like the worst camp setup, and we were stuck having to sleep in his mom's car because I don't know what was going on. Maybe his
mom why'd you piss in the bottle? Couldn't you just go piss outside?
Well, that's what I ended up doing. But in advance, you said, hey, look, if you guys have to go to the bathroom, because there was no port-a-john around. This was up at Clear Lake. She gave us a beer bottle, and I remember I'm sitting in the front seat trying to sleep, and I remember I had to use them. I can't
doesn't make any sense. Just get out of
Well, it was raining too. That's the thing. It was raining.
So
like bad. Well, that's the time I was like, ah, the hell with this. And I got outside and just pissed in the rain. And I got back in the car. One of the worst camping trips ever. That's why it's as if I didn't have enough reasons to hate camping in general. Because we need to rough it like my ancestors did for fun. You know.
I don't like camping either particularly, but it's not outright horrible, but I'm trying to wrap my head around you piss outside. I don't understand.
Well, like I said, I think at the time she was trying to keep us from like having to go out, get out in the rain or whatever.
Yeah, but no one else who wants to hear someone else in the car like pissing into a beer bottle?
Well, like I said, we were kids, you know, I think I was in fourth or fifth grade at the time.
That's fucking weird.
I know. Zach was funny as hell, and his parents were pretty cool, but I hated that camping trip, you know.
Yeah, they went to your refrigerator.
Man, you really can't hear everything.
Yeah. It's just faint, and with the headphones, it's easier to do. I'm sure if someone else was listening to it, and I know what it sounds like, so I can pinpoint everyone else. Just like, I don't know, something fell over.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. It has been asked, how much water do you drink on a daily basis?
I bring about 7 to 8 bottles of water with me to work. And I drink a bottle with each small meal that I have. So that's at least 4 bottles. So sometimes at least 5 or 6. And then in the summertime, I mean, a lot of times I would burn through 8 bottles of water while I'm at work.
Which I think is actually the recommended amount of water per day.
Yeah, so I spend, even if I don't drink as many, I'm going to the bathroom. I could not tell you how many times a day I'll go start work one dining hall. Before I'm done, I have to use the bathroom again. And then I get finished the next one, I got to go again. And sometimes we're talking maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I have to go again. It's not fun, but you know what?
When you left, I was like, yeah, he just pisses all the time. I'm like, he comes over to the house for like 4 or 5 hours. He's pissing at least once an hour.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a joke. I drink a lot of water.
That's all I keep in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's not fun to have the bladder the size of a thimble anymore. But
I told him it was the size of a pea.
That's what it felt like.
You have to get up during the middle of the night a lot and go and do that.
Sometimes, yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Even if I don't drink a whole lot before going to bed, like you know, because I just you know,
where's Wilfred Brimley to do a commercial on having to piss all the time?
I know. I would love to be the paid actor to come in, stresses, and sets up a bet. Oh no, I've got to go again. And then here comes Wilford. I'm Wilford Brimley. You know, do you pee a lot in the night? And by the way, have you had Quaker Toasted Oats? Didn't he used to do Toasted Oat commercials back in the day?
Yeah. Let's talk about diabetes.
He's like, I don't work for Brimley. I'm a diabetic. I remember they spoofed him on Stranger with Candy because he's talking about, Now if I say this, then I'll probably get...
Not that diabetes is funny. It's just funny the way Wilford Brimley would talk about it.
Well, it's Wilford Brimley, you know? Like, he's funny in the thing. I'll kill you!
Yeah, he's just completely different in the thing compared to those in, like, Cocoon and shit.
Yeah. Or, like, in The Firm, when he's playing that guy who's like, you know, goes around killing people for the law firm, you know? Because they're connected to the mob. You're like, man, Wilford Brimley's a real prick in this movie.
Yeah. And I think he's still alive.
Think so too, yeah. And he was on the show Our House too, back in the '80s too, where he plays like the grandpa. That was the first thing I ever saw, man. We went from real Ghostbusters to
Wilford Brimley
beating your kids to Wilford Brimley and Quaker Oats and diabetes. Man, you really just don't know what the hell you're gonna get when you get the two of us talking.
Yeah, it's the beauty of the show. Cocoon was what I saw, man.
I've only seen pieces of that film to this day.
You got a boner too?
Yeah. That's one of the few parts I have seen, like, or kind of gotten to come across with the talking about that.
Where the fuck is Steve Guttenberg? Why haven't they remade Police Academy?
Don't give them any ideas.
No, I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying, why haven't they?
I'm surprised they haven't, where they've got, you know. What kind of, I mean, Kevin Hart would definitely be like the heart, yeah, the center of attention. That Will Ferrell screaming and yelling, running around. The movie supposed to be like some like shitty Photoshop. Will Ferrell in his underwear, because he's got to run around in his underwear or be completely naked with the police hat on, screaming and yelling. Kevin Hart doing the disgusting, you know, Kevin Hart face that he always does. You know, they probably cast The Rock in there. It's like, I'm the serious funny guy in the movie, you know, and then they get, you know, Ice Cube to play the sergeant or something like that. Oh, God, it'd be terrible. Snoop Dogg would be like the guy on the street who helps them or something like that, you know. Ugh. God, it would be bad.
I will say the 21 Jump Street movie was actually okay. It was actually fine. I enjoyed it. I haven't watched the sequel.
But I'm disappointed that we're going to cross the road with Men in Black.
No, I don't care about that. The new Men in Black looks like shit, too, so...
Yeah, well, all the Men in Black movies stunk, in my opinion.
The first one's fine.
I didn't it wasn't unwatchable, but I just felt this is nowhere near as good as I'd hoped it was going to be. I was so excited for that back when I actually liked Will Smith. Like, I couldn't wait. I got back from a beach trip in Nag's Head, and I went to go sit, and
I thought it was fine. Would watch again if it was on TV or something. I had nothing else to do.
I'll say the soundtrack is better than the movie.
Yeah, he had a lot of good catchy tunes. Getting Jiggy With It played. Someone played it on their speaker at work, and I was like, yeah, I don't know.
I've never liked that's one Will Smith song. Even as a kid, I didn't like that song. I liked Wild Wild West and Men in Black, and that was what I was really about. That and the Willennium CD thing.
When they performed the Wild Wild West song.
Oh, that was terrible. Oh, yeah. Bad.
And they left Stevie Wonder on the stage. He's just sitting there like... And I think Cisco or somebody had to go get him. Hey, guys, you remember Cisco?
Yeah, Thong Song.
Thong Song. Yeah, that's an earworm right there. That shit will get stuck in your head.
I thought the song Thong Song is still catchy as hell. Unless you hear the crotch song by Andy Dick's Frisco. You know, so I had the platinum hair before Cisco ever. It shows him in this yearbook. With that like Play-Doh hair.
What the fuck happened to this show?
And we're not, Nathan's not drinking, you know, we're not sleepy or anything. We're just being ourselves.
We're just, this is what happens when you and I don't, because we honestly didn't even really text each other too much this week either.
No, Nathan's wrapped up at work, and I'm barricaded up at work too. And we'll text each other some, you know, back and forth. Hey, about this toy or about this movie. And
I didn't get a chance to click on that thing because, like, it's so loud at work, I couldn't hear it that well. But can you explain to me really quick that whole thing with the choking? I need to watch it again. Just
like, and I, you know, that's the only sports show that I watch because they make fun of sports and they talk Miami Heat basketball and basketball a lot in general. But they got a clip of Bomani Jones, who takes his work seriously and is a friend of theirs. He was doing his show and started choking during a recording. so it sounds like he's throwing up. And they're, and it was like a genuine reaction from them. And then his producer has to come on to cover up for him. And it's to this day, this that happened like 2 years ago. I'll watch that clip. And earlier this week, I sat in my car, and I've watched it so many times. Tears were running down my face of just hearing him.
What was he choking on?
Don't know. I have no idea. And then to hear Dan and Stu Gatz laughing their asses off while they're playing. And then for weeks afterwards, they were playing that. I remember Bomani said, like, why are you guys always, like, playing that stuff on there? Because it's funny as hell. So, and Nathan was just having a rough time at work, and I thought, this is a really random video just to send to him. But it brings so much joy to me. Even when I'm stressed at work, I would put that video on and just laugh at it. I'm like, I had a great laugh. I'm like, Nathan may think, like, why is he sending me stuff from ESPN? But
no, anything. It was so loud I couldn't hear, and I hadn't gone back to watch it. So yeah. I wanted you to explain, like, what was going on. I was like, all right, they're laughing and someone's choking, but I can't, in context, I don't know why exactly this is funny, and I couldn't hear all of it either.
Yeah. The noises he's making when he's choking, because and it's like this, it's like he's burping, but it sounds like he's throwing up. And he goes, excuse me, help me. And they would play it for the next several weeks over and over again on the show. So it would randomly go throwing, help me. And Stu Gatz has this infectious laugh that when he starts laughing so hard, I laugh even harder because he's screaming with laughter because it's just a genuine reaction to the choking on air.
I think my go-to clip that will never fail to make me laugh is, I think I'll wait until you're done drinking your water, is the Vampiro farting in the microphone. Because I'm pretty sure he just took his mic off his head and just, like, lifted a cheek and just, like, ripped into it.
Cause I thought about that the other day, too.
Because Brad Spiker, like, yeah, look at this. And then you just hear
a muffled fart.
I swear about the real Ghostbusters, I promise.
Yes, yes. I have my DVD in to play and everything, yeah, too. Yeah,
right? Mine as well. Guys, it's on Netflix.
Much longer, though, till the end of the month.
Really?
Yeah.
Is the entire run on there right now, or is it only select episodes?
I'm pretty sure the show ran for 7 seasons, but there's 5 seasons available on Netflix, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I may be wrong. Maybe someone will come along and can't wait to correct me.
So, join us on Netflix if you'd like. There's no link down below.
No, it's on Daily Motion, but not a very good version. Of course, they always like these, cuts of it. But
purchase it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Get the complete series. Tyler and I only own this volume right here.
Because when it came out, it was like hard to get. Like Time Life was offering like the complete set with the firehouse and everything, and they've sold like various volumes at Target, but it was just like, why can't you guys just sell us like one complete set, or say season one, season two? This boring stuff has got to go.
Yeah, but I do intend on getting what is available. That Time Life Firehouse is expensive now.
When it came out, it was like over $100, I think.
Yeah, well, now it's about $3. But I will plan, I think, to drop the $70 to get I think it's 10 volumes. It's not the entire run either. I think it's only 110 episodes of the 155. I probably should have done research on this. I'm sure someone will correct us.
Well, it's easily accessible. It's not that we can't find it. So yeah. People hold back and be like, oh my God, I just got to correct them. Like, we can look it up. All it takes is a quick Google search, guys. We're not morons here. We know how to use the damn internet.
But we're not professionals either.
So. Yes, we're not claiming to be either. We're just here to
have fun talking about Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
And all the good
get yourself checked for diabetes.
That said, Tyler, give us the countdown. We'll go ahead and get this thing going.
All right. Time for my personal favorite episode of the Real Ghostbusters of all time, The Boogeyman Cometh. 3, 2, 1, action. Yeah. Man. Just nothing but pure energy and excitement watching this ghost dance down the block.
It's good that they still use Ray Parker Jr., the theme song. They didn't really change it or alter it too much. It does sound slightly different, but
it works.
Yeah. And there's the fire pole.
Yeah. Oh, it's watching Egon and Winston slide down the, and seeing them all doing their own separate thing. Like, this intro just gives you so much action. And
I always like that noise from the Ecto-1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at all then, those cool looking ghosts.
Yeah, it looks awesome. And then Stay Puft front and center. And then they're looking all badass.
They're going to kick your ass, man. Yeah.
Awesome intro.
Yeah. I remember Bryant saw my Winston figure. And he said basketball. I was like, are you saying because Winston's black, you think basketball? But he seemed pretty interested in Winston.
Oh, great. Oh, there we go. I thought my DVD had stopped for a second. I'm like, no.
Because I had Michael Reeves, who I'm sorry. Sorry.
I was just going to say I had a hell of a time getting it going. Go ahead with the Michael Reeves.
Oh, no. So Michael Reeves, who also worked on He-Man, who did Dragon Invasion, Song of Solace, and worked on No Adventures of He-Man, and did Mike Young's He-Man as well. Pretty well versed in children's animation, and I like seeing episodes like this where they start out like in a superhero cartoon. They're already on another case.
Yeah, and how badass is it? They're chasing a guy in a truck, a ghost in a driving a truck. Yeah. Like, it's fucking cool.
Yeah, a gangster ghost by damn it, the same kind of ghost that's modeled after big boss and Cops. Ah, God, I'm sure. I know his name. I forgot it again. I had like three people go out of the way to correct me over that one when we were talking about that. So if you listen to this, please hold back. I know who it is.
Now, when you hear Venkman talk, it is kind of tough to not think of Garfield.
But at the time, though, like I saw the Garfield Christmas special the same year as I was really getting into Ghostbusters. And I just thought it was awesome. I didn't immediately think it took. Like, that was cool. But to me, that was Peter Venkman. Like, that's his voice. And I think because that resonated with me a little bit more first, then I saw Garfield more when I started actually watching the show. It was more like, like, that's Peter Venkman's voice. So it didn't take me out of it. And I think Lorenzo Music did a perfect job as Peter, is capturing that essence of Bill Murray's, you know,
sarcasm. All about
sarcasm. He's self-centered, loves women. And I'm still pissed off that if I was in charge to this day, if I was putting together another Ghostbusters show, Ernie Hudson would be playing the voice of Winston since he auditioned for it. Who the hell would turn down Ernie Hudson to not play Winston? Even though Arsenio Hall does a great job as Winston. Perfect. But
Ernie Hudson did go on Twitter and was like, hey, I haven't gotten anything about Ghostbusters 3, so... Yeah, that always pissed me off. Why they always left him out of the promotional material?
His name is not featured prominently on the posters,
and that's horseshit.
Yeah, even as a kid, that bothered me. Like, why is Winston? And I never wanted to believe. Like, is this really a racist thing? But I also feel like he's a member of the Ghost. Like, to me as a kid, he's just as important as the rest of them.
Exactly.
Like, there's not a because he's the last to join up in the movie. I'm like, so that means he's less important. I'm like, this is bullshit. To me, he's the muscle of the Ghostbusters. Like, I just see him as like the guy who would kick your ass if he didn't have a proton pack. I mean, I was always bothered by that. And still to this day, if I see anything like that, it just makes me mad that Winston was not featured prominently. I mean, with real Ghost, even when the real Ghostbusters merchandise, if you go back and look at some of the earlier stuff that came out, Winston's not on like the sleeping bag or some of the promotional like merchandise. But eventually he is, and all four were featured on there. But it wasn't with all the stuff. But I just always thought that was so odd that Winston was left out at times.
Yeah. Going back to this, with Slimer, I would probably be like Venkman. I'd be like, hey, let's test this out and just take care of you and wipe you out. I'm annoyed. I'm tired of you.
Yeah, which I think watching this show, like I think the personas like you and I and even Joe, like I think we'd be like a melting pot. Like I think I'd be more like a Winston and Peter at times. Joe would definitely be Ray,
yeah,
because of his enthusiasm. And I think you're more of an amalgam of like Egon and Peter, because you're a smart ass, but you're also the tech savvy guy too.
Ah, well, thank you.
Yeah, so I feel like we would all be. At least I think Joe even has a little bit of a Winston in him too. So, you know, because Joe thinks he's black.
I see. This also plays into our whole thing. Like, you have these African-American kids coming in, like, we have the boogeyman, and who do they go to first? Or who talks to them about, like, well, it's Winston. I'm like, was that done intentionally? I hope not. And maybe we're just thinking too much into it.
No. When I watch this show, like, I you know, that's what I love about this, is that, honestly, like, I didn't see them, like, because Winston says, tell old Winston what's going on. Like, he addresses them first. But even though Peter's like, get these kids some milk and cookies, like, they're addressing them as kids. They're not seeing them as, oh, look at these little, like,
but that's I like the backbone of this story. How cool would it have been to, like, show up to the firehouse and be like, hey, here's my piggy bank. Can you guys come and investigate my bedroom?
Like, that's, even though if there was no boogeyman, that's really cool. The Ghostbusters to get up in the middle of the night to humor these kids, because that's the kind of guys that, obviously, that's clearly not what's going on here. But yeah, it's really cool. But, you know, watching this as a kid, I wanted to be the Ghostbusters. I wouldn't have wanted to go and get help from, I like, no, give me a proton pack. Give me a PKA meter. And I will say, like, this episode to me, you know, it was on par with, like, Freddy Krueger, House of Cody, but I did find the boogeyman quite scary as a kid. Yes. And watching it as an adult, you know, you just get chills because of how great Frank Welker does. And the visual design of the boogeyman, this small, like, body with goat legs and this massive demonic. I love that. Like, at midnight, on cue, this guy comes out of your closet just to scare the piss out of children and then leaves, and you don't know when he's going to come back. That's a ballsy, evil character. Oh, man. Like, to think as kids, like children going through, that's why I felt so bad for these kids. I remember you. Like, that's awesome. I love that tie-in of Egon having a past with the book, and that not all children had to deal with this guy.
Yeah.
That his victims were random, and he probably picked the ones that he could really scare the most.
And the animation in this show is very top-notch.
Oh, it's Deke. Beautiful. But yeah, Deke Productions, who did Cops, Inspector Gadget, New Adventures of He-Man, they had some beautiful animation, and Ghostbusters was, I mean, always beautifully animated. Whether you liked the episode or not, it was going to look good. And the design for the boogeyman is... I hope Diamond Select decides they're going to do, like, some of the ghosts from the show, because Boogeyman has got to be the first
one. Yeah, that would be cool. That would be awesome.
And I always like the that everybody has, like, you know, as a kid, too, I didn't question why they don't look like the movie Ghostbusters or whether outfits are different.
I didn't either.
I was like, that's Egon's suit. Winston's got the mint green outfit, which I thought was really cool looking.
I like how the parents are just now like, wait, our kids, like, went out in the middle of the night, and now there's four random strangers in here too?
Yeah.
They were either having, like, really good sex, or they're very deep sleepers.
Yeah. They were like, you know, yeah, it's hard to say. I'm kind of makes you wonder, why the hell didn't they come bursting when they hear the proton packs going off and the boogeyman screaming and yelling? But it almost feels like that's how it always is when it comes to horror movies and kids dealing with something the parents don't believe. It's like, because the parents are oblivious to the supernatural, that therefore they would never hear any of this stuff because they don't believe in it. And if you believe in it, it's much more powerful. So it's almost like maybe that's how the boogeyman survives too. Like, obviously, we're going to get a little bit of exposition on how the boogeyman works and how long he's been around, kind of thing. But almost as if, like, that's how he survives, is if you really believe in him, it's more real to you.
Yeah, like,
whereas parents probably would never even hear the boogeyman's in there terrifying their kids, threatening to eat them or who knows what, you know, for fun. It's like Freddy Krueger a lot.
Yeah.
And I just love how Egon is so determined, we're going to kick this guy's ass because he tormented me as a kid. Like, that's great. I love that.
Still, when you think about how many kids there are, he's got job security.
Yeah, it's like, that's clearly Bill Murray, you know. And this is a prime example of this episode of, like, I could picture all four, Ernie, Bill, Harold, and Dan playing out these characters, because they took such great care in capturing their personas and putting them in this animated show. And I love everybody's animated design. Like, that's Egon, that's clearly Ray, clearly Peter, and clearly Winston. Like, I just felt And I think that's what made it even more special, is that their designs were different, but they were all unique. Like, everybody had their own outfit. The personas were well represented. Oh, boy, here we go again. Like, you just see that the door glowing.
Yeah, there's about slow creaking doors, too.
Mm-hmm. And you think, too, like, even though the Ghostbusters will come in and kick his ass, these kids will never, ever forget dealing with something like this. Look at this. I mean,
yeah,
God.
That was a good perspective shot right there.
Yeah, it is. That wasn't very nice. Like, oh, man, Frank Welker, magnificent bastard. I always love these bumpers.
Yeah, I did, too.
It's a great thing about 80s animation. They always had great bumpers.
Can you imagine just like the commercials in between? It's like Burger King commercials and other toy commercials, like a Ghostbusters toy commercial and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, go to Burger King, get your He-Man, you know, He-Man cups, and or McDonald's is selling Muppet Babies toys right now. Oh, no, you don't. Kick his ass, Winston.
And I always remember the ABC bumpers as well.
Oh, yeah, with, like, the claymation.
Yeah. Yes. After these messages, be right
back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember them. Because that was when I was really, I have vivid memories of watching Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters with those bumpers. Now, I hope with Diamond Select doing Real Ghostbusters merchandise, I would love to see more stuff from the show represented. Of course, you know, when they bring up merchandise, they always put some jerk off in charge who manages to destroy it with putting really lame ass interpretations of the characters on T-shirts or whatever. But getting a jumpsuit of like Winston's mint green or Egon's like dark blue, like that would be really cool to have. Of course, I don't know. A live action Ghostbuster jumpsuit would be really badass too.
I actually have it on my phone. I'll show it off when we're done with this. I'll show the picture of me dressed as Egon for Halloween one year.
Oh, I have vague recollection of you sharing that too. Yeah, yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
I'll find it. I like this too. How they're gonna go and find a place?
Yeah, and that's what adds a little extra depth to the book. Like, it's not just every closet, but I love this. Yeah, this is clearly
a karate expert would be afraid to live here.
Which I like to think that this place is abandoned, or this apartment is, like, maybe the family moved due to what was going on in this apartment.
Well, I mean, you saw, I'm sure, like, it's crack house hobos probably hang out there and everything.
Yeah. But I just love that not everyone leaves to the
There's Joe. Wow. Yeah.
Dopey dog. Oh, this is great. And that's like Dan Aykroyd through and through, like him, like, hey, does this pole still work? You gotta try this pole. Like, that's his Dopey. Oh, that's great. And they all look at him like, we got our kid. And this sequence, like, this could be easily screwed up, but it's done so well. I want a glass of water. Yeah, there's Nathan getting mad at Joe. Man, but to think, though, like, even as an adult, having to pretend to be a child, and which makes me feel like, too, like, what is it about this? Does he sense, like, the boogeyman senses, okay, this is a door I haven't visited in a while.
Man, God, just like the goat feet and everything, too.
Massive head. Yeah, it gives me goosebumps watching this. So just kick the door open. Just throws a chair at him. And I love the boogeyman's world. Like, that we're going to get ready to visit here in a few moments. Like, oh, it's beautiful. Just completely creepy and out there. And that was what was so cool about this show. Like, it was not always just ghosts, too. I mean, we got werewolves and vampires and Sam Hain, the Lord of Halloween. I mean, you get the Sandman. Just the Stay Puft shows up. We get the Terror Dogs.
The possibilities are because anything just supernatural.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, anything goes. I always remember the episode, The Armpit, which just because the title alone as a kid, I'm like, The Armpit. Ah, ha, ha, ha. You know?
But so here they are inside of an M.C. Escher painting.
Yeah, pretty much. Or David Bowie's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Like interior.
Yeah.
Very cool. Like, as a child, to see all this, it just shows you that, you know, you could be an adult writing for a children's show, but a show like this gives you, like, you know, you can be creative and go, that's not completely like child safety. I mean, you could really be kind of crazy.
Did they ever make a figure of him?
No. No, none of the ghosts from the show made it into action figure form.
They're just with their own thing. I remember having like the football player.
Yep, Tombstone Tackle. I had him.
Yeah, and
I had the Wolfman.
Yeah, wasn't there also there was an elderly lady, and didn't her mouth just
Granny
like,
Ghost? Oh. Yep.
That's why I'm glad you remember most of the names of this shit, because I never could.
I spent so much of my free time over the years as a kid, teenager, just researching He-Man, Turtles, Ghostbusters, G.I. Joe, Thundercats. It was just, I missed out on so much because I couldn't have everything as a kid. So it just left me hungry to want to know more about the toys and the cartoons and stuff. So
and there was Tyler bouncing on his bed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm probably going to have to pick my Ray figure with the gloves on, you know, because they normally didn't wear gloves. But as far as I know, Ray has worn gloves in a few of the episodes, but I don't think anybody else has. But this, I can see this being in a movie, like running from closets. It's like in Little Monsters, like every closet, at least all over the world.
I know that their idea for Ghostbusters 3 would involve like kids. And I think if they could find a way to work it in a similar sense like this, it would be fine. I don't want it to focus too much on the kids.
Well, I was glad to see.
Nope. I think we lost Tyler. He accidentally hit something on his headset. You never know what's going to happen on this podcast. Send him a text. I'm pretty sure he hit the thing because where the mic's got his volume control and stuff. I'm pretty sure like he clicked something to make him bounce. Yeah, he finally showed himself some love and it like popped him off. Huh. That was weird. So now they got to figure out how to get home here. I don't know if he'll be able to join in again or if I need to send him an invite. That hell of a way to end the episode of the podcast. And I like how, well, we get the call back here to the device that Peter was wanting to use to get rid of Slimer. They're going to find a way to obliterate this place. Still showing that he's in here, but he's not in here. So much dead air. I don't know what to say. Tyler's the one that usually like carries most of this. So we're going to use the proton packs to give it enough juice. Then we're going to blow it all up. But no, the boogeyman is still here. And Egon's going to face his fears. Tyler, where are you? That's got to be tough too, to be afraid of something as a kid and it carries on as an adult, and you have to find a way to conquer your fear. Hey, there you are.
God.
You hit it, I guess that's where you hit that, right? And it, like,
I don't know what happened. I have no idea what the hell happened.
Don't do it again. Don't mess with it.
So, yeah, I just had exit the call and enter back in here. Damn it. So I was just sitting there talking, and I realized, like, Nathan's not saying anything. And I looked down, like, I don't know if he can hear me. Like, the boogeyman's got facial hair there.
It grows fast in this other world. Yeah, they need to make a figure of Boogeyman.
Yeah, they really do. Even if he's like a build a boogeyman or something like that, like one, because he's such
don't do that shit. I'm tired of the build a figure thing.
I don't like it either. I'm just saying,
give me the figure, because most of the time they throw it in a set of shit. Like, I don't want two or three of these, but you got to buy them all just to build that. No, I hate that shit. No. Stop being lazy. Just put the figure out. I don't want to have to buy other figures that I don't want. This is not Super 7.
Yeah, or Marvel Legends, where
Marvel Legends is the notorious factor for that. But I'm just saying, like, I'm saying Super 7 in regards of, you know, you have to buy them all. You can't just get them individually.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, Boogeyman is on the first guy on the list in terms of, like, characters from the show that has to be done.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's been a while since you revisited Ghostbusters, but when you watch this episode, like, does it hold? I mean, I think it.
No, I'm ready to watch more of this.
Kick ass.
Maybe even, like, just go through, and then the episodes that I remember, maybe it'll start to, like, trigger memories. Oh, yeah, I remember what happens in this episode now. It's just not, it's not there. It's there, but it's not there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, a favorite one of mine was when Egon became a chicken, like the were-chicken.
Oh, yeah.
But look at
Egon's salmon-colored pink shirt. Yeah. I would wear that.
Yeah.
Oh, which, I'd totally wear that.
It's the 80s. You can get away with dressing like that in the 80s.
It's just Slimer.
Yeah.
I always loved Slimer.
I did, too. And it's definitely someone I would just... It would be fun to have, like, Slimer hang around with you all the time.
There's me. Gotta die again.
I'm gonna count.
You son of a bitch.
Yep. Frank Welker just made Slimer so lovable.
Yeah.
That's why you need to go check out Citizen Ghost, where it shows how he came to hang out with the Ghostbusters and references Ghostbusters 1.
And here we go. The dancing at the end.
Yeah, throwback to Ray Parker's music video with him going down the street in New York.
And Slimer's going to mess them all up.
Yeah.
Of course, he goes after Peter first. But that's the thing, too. You would get those episodes where you would see that Peter does have a fondness for Slimer.
He really does,
and he does care about him. And there we go.
Yep.
There's the Boogeyman cometh. I'm ready to watch more of this, but... I think the plan for next week, if I don't have to work overtime, Batman 60s series movie.
Yep.
It's been a long time since I watched that. I honestly think the last time I watched that is when you brought it over and we fell
asleep. It's been that long since you watched it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm fairly certain. But I'm looking forward to digging into that because...
it looks so good on Blu-ray.
A lot of people know that on this show... We are, like, it's too jokey, it's too silly, it's too funny. And, you know, a lot of people feel that way about the 60 series Batman. And to a degree, I guess you would be correct. And sorry if I'm making noise, I'm just putting the DVD back in the case. But that show was just done in a way that I can just totally bypass all of that. Plus, it's just, it's fun. It's supposed to be that way. It's fun, but it has the right amount of action and could be serious when it needed to be.
Well, I was glad to know, like, in seeing, like, people who watched the show when it was originally aired, they viewed it as a serious show. They didn't see it as, oh, this is so ahead of its time and tongue in cheek. Like, no, shut up. we all thought it was real. I always thought this was serious. Like, this was legit cliffhanger stuff. Like, when Joker's dressed up as Pagliacci the clown and captures Batman and Robin live on TV, I'm like, oh my God, like, the Joker, he's got him. And it's in end of this episode, what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, it was, I took the stuff seriously. I didn't see it as silly. I was super pumped. And I took it like, oh no, man, this is not good. Because when I watched it on the Family Channel, they'd play one episode a day. Yeah. So, which
you had to wait till tomorrow.
You had to wait till tomorrow to catch the next part, which was, ah, you know, is it, when you're 5 or 6 years old watching cliffhangers of the 60s show, it was unbearable to be have to wait till the next day to find out how they're going to get away from the Riddler tomorrow. How they're going to, you know, is Catwoman going to get away with this? She's so hot, man. Why can't Batman just go ahead and just get a kiss from her? I had such a crush on Julie Newmar as Catwoman. Oh.
Well, maybe, maybe also one day too, as it was posed to us, maybe we can watch that Batman 60 series porn parody. That'd be hilarious. It's like, well, yeah. What do you say about this? They're fucking.
Boy, look at him. Boy, look at him go. He's really giving it to her good.
It would be funny though.
I can just hear the beat cheeks sound right now, even though we got to have this muted for copyright issues. Yeah. But yeah, I love the 60s show, and I when I watch it, yes, I can laugh at some of it, but it still get excited watching because there was some great sets, great visuals. I love the costumes, and the characters were just a blast to watch. And he's got a fire pole. Sliding down the fire pole, and your outfit just jumps on you. I don't know how it worked, but it was fascinating to me as a kid to see it flip over that Shakespeare bust, the doors open, you slide. Ah, damn it. God. That's what happens. You get excited and you end up knocking everything over.
Yep.
But yeah.
Pulling a motto.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll do. Yeah. If Nathan's not working, we'll be doing the 60s film. And if he is working, we may have to wait till the next day and do something at random. I don't know. We'll just
we'll figure it out. We'll play it by ear.
Yeah. But hopefully you guys enjoyed this Real Ghostbusters, and consider anything that we've done, you know, we're more likely going to revisit it multiple times.
Yeah, back to it. Yeah. I don't think there will be anything on that. There may be at some point a few one and done things.
Yeah.
But this is something we're definitely.
Let's go ahead. Like, you know, hopefully my mindset will be in a better place next Christmas. But when Christmas rolls around, we have to do Xmas Marks the Spot from the Real Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Because I saw that when I was 5 in 1989, where they take out the ghost haunting Ebenezer Scrooge and destroy Christmas inadvertently. Like that was like, I couldn't believe it because I was such a fan of the Christmas Carol as a kid. So, yeah, when the Christmas season rolls around next year, like I know this year we didn't do like a lot of Christmas stuff because neither one of us cared to. But if we do one thing Christmas related, we ought to do the Real Ghostbusters Xmas Marks the Spot, right, or Spectacular Spider-Man's Sinister Six episode where he has to take him on Christmas Eve or something like that. But
that sounds good to me.
Yeah,
that works.
Cool.
I guess before we sign off, I want to say hello to Who That Whale who popped in and had to bounce because he had a birthday party to go to. And Delva78 ended up asking a question, but then looked it up and answered it. But I thought we could talk about it real quick. Delvis had asked, what are bumpers? And bumpers was just a television term used of just like, here's little things, commercial break and coming back.
Yeah.
That became inventive with a lot of these animated shows, especially Ghostbusters. You would get like a different thing each time. And then,
yeah, He-Man had Orko like, you know, bursting through this yellow wall and says, you know, He-Man will be right back after these messages, and shows him like taping it. Now back to He-Man. Thundercats had bumpers.
I feel like a lot of them did.
G.I. Joe had bumpers. I mean, yeah, Transformers had bumpers. You know, some of them were pretty, you know, elaborate. Some of them were just had like the logo. We now return to G.I. Joe, or Transformers had like, you know, Starscream like flying in and Transformers. We now return to the Transformers, you know, or something like that. You know, so it was some of them were really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It's just one of those things to indicate if you're in the kitchen and the TV's on in the other room, you're getting some cereal and you hear that. It's, oh, shit, it's back on.
Yeah.
You run back in. Yeah.
Yeah,
I miss those. I don't know. I don't know if those are even still a thing.
Probably not, because they know the kids are playing on the dams. parents' phone or something like that at the time too. And they ain't paying attention.
And I'm glad that most of the times, not all the times, but most of the times on releases,
they keep the bumpers intact. Yeah,
they keep the bumpers intact. So.
What's a shame with all the He-Man releases, they didn't do the bumpers. Not a single DVD release has got the bumpers attached to it. But with Ghostbusters and Transformers and G.I. Joe, all the bumpers are intact. And not with Thundercats either.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a shame.
Yes, I'm back.
Well, any more final thoughts before we wrap it up and get out of here?
I love the hell out of this. So hopefully, you know, when sharing this, people listen to this or watch it, you know, get you excited to, you know, do Google searches, do some YouTube searches for the commercials for the toys and the cartoon, or watch the introduction on YouTube.
Buy the Diamond Select figures.
Yes.
Let's get those things sell enough that we can get the Boogeyman and
other
villains.
I want the Boogeyman so bad I can't stand it. You know, I'd love to have a Janine figure too to put on.
Yeah, that would be cool. But yeah. Thanks to Diamond Select for putting those out.
And such great care, because everyone comes with a PKA meter. Everyone comes with a ghost trap. A proton stream, just like the vintage Kenner figures, like they have their own individual color. Like Winston's got yellow, Peter has green, Ray's got, I forgot what his was. Yeah, that's what I thought, orange. And Egon has got, because they all had like an individually colored like proton stream coming out, which I thought was really cool too. So they take a lot of great care into those figures. So hopefully that won't be the last of the real Ghostbusters that we'll get. Even if it was like throwbacks to the Kenner characters, like the ghost that was in the Kenner line, I'd be open to getting a Wolfman or a Granny Ghost or a Bad to the Bone or the Trash Man. You put the trash can over his head and he comes out and he's like this like giant like fly moth green thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell it was.
Do you remember the cab? Or
yes.
Like the what was it? No, it was like the VW Beetle or whatever that would like open up.
It was like a praying mantis kind of type.
Hell
and
yeah.
I had the helicopter as a kid too, where you pull the trigger and you make the propeller spin. It only could fit one Ghostbuster, and it had like a grappling hook that you could roll down.
God.
A lot of kick-ass stuff. And that firehouse to me, man, when I finally got to see it in person, I couldn't wait to play at the fire pole. Because I just all that's all.
Yeah, because you spin it up and put the figure on there and then just let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was so
good stuff.
Oh.
Yep, still got mine. It's at my parents.
Yeah. One day when you get a big place, all that stuff's got to go. Even if I will help you put that stuff on display.
All right. You heard it here.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Clear your schedule. You're going to need a whole weekend just to help me.
And then I get a text from Nathan still laying in bed. I ain't in the mood.
Yeah, probably.
With his hair like all Beekman world, like just sticking up in the air.
Yeah, the motivation's tough. I got to figure out what I'm doing with this. It's starting to get long. I'm like, am I going to let it grow some more? Do I need to cut it again? I don't know what I'm going to do. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, just wait. It's long enough to swirl it up like Egon.
And just grow a rat tail?
Yeah.
Emily will love that.
I can see her dissatisfied look like, okay, I'm making cookies.
Yeah. All right. With that said, thank you guys that joined us live. If you're checking us out after the fact and you're new to the channel, please hit subscribe. Ring the bell so you get notified when we go live for Capes and Commentaries, Beyond Retro Podcast, and Beyond Retro Arcade, where I get drunk and play retro video games and hang out with the chat. Check out all the links down below. You can download us on Podbean and iTunes, and I also want to encourage those audio listeners out there, come on over to youtube.com/Beyond Retro Podcast. Check out Fans of Power, the He-Man and the Master Universe podcast, hosted by Tyler Baker, Joe Amato, and myself. Buy Joe's t-shirts, hit him up for a custom, and like our Facebook page. Like this video, and as I said earlier, leave a comment down below. Let us know your memories on the real Ghostbusters and Wilford Brimley and toys.
Did you watch the show Our House?
Yeah, that too. Until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Take care, everybody.